This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This recording was made at REACH 2017, held on March 23 and 24, 2017, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
And welcome to each one. Appreciate that you, I'm honored that you chose to be here when you had so many other good options. So, he shared a little bit of why I want to talk on, why I'm passionate about this subject. I've been pastoring at the Hillcrest Home for this summer, it'll be 12 years. And as I look and learned, I've come to love the church, and I look at our young people and like a variety of churches that come through Hillcrest. And just before I was there, even as a young man, I would observe differences, different congregations, different flavors, and just learning and seeing some of the same difficulties in all of them, in spite of the differences. Our difficulties are the same, and in my own life, it's a grief to me that there's not more fruit, that there's not more effectiveness, that there's not more true discipleship happening and spiritual growth. And I see that frustrated pastors and frustrated leaders. And that's, what do we need? What do we need more of? And so I'm convinced prayer is part of that picture. And I speak here not as from one who has had such an outstanding prayer life, but one who has struggled to have one. I pray all the time, but I still, it's a struggle to make the time. That's where I'm at. I'd just like to hear two or three of you, why did you come? Why did you choose this session? We're a small enough group. Let's just have a good time here sharing together. Why did you choose this? Three of you.
Because I know it's important, but somehow it eludes me.
Okay. I relate with that.
In the church, we're in a spiritual battle. There's a lack of prayer. Mm-hmm. Especially with missionaries out in the field, Satan wants to get them to not pray.
Yes. Absolutely.
It's an area that I struggle in finding the time to pray. I'm here to learn some steps of how to make it more effective.
Yes. Anyone else?
Because I know that where I'm going in life, I'm going to need all the power I can get.
That's right. You've got a good picture. All right, let's just pray before we go on. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, the one who has told us that we can go because all power is made available. And thank you that we have that delegated power through Christ. And I pray that power upon each one sitting here, that today as we speak, your Holy Spirit would come upon us and give us the picture, give us the ideas, give us the strength, the ability to utilize this power that knows no bounds. Pray your blessing on each person here, and may your will be done as I speak. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. This first point on your paper, why is prayer important in order to be an effective leader? And I put one down, but I'd like to hear from you. We're just going to have a little bit of a sharing time here. Leaders represent God. And Satan, I'll just say Satan hates that. He hates any form of structure, any form of authority, any form of organization or leadership, Satan is against that. Okay? And but so leaders represent God as the ultimate authority, the ultimate leader, the ultimate organizer, the ultimate in all of these, and the leaders, we represent that. And so to be effective for God, we need to represent Him well. All right? And so what I'm saying is, prayer is about getting to know God. And maybe that's my main point today. I don't know. Let God tell you what your main point is for this. But prayer is about getting to know God. And I'll explain more about that later. So that's one thing that came to my mind. Why do you say prayer is important to be an effective leader? Let me just, who's here? How many preachers are here? Okay, number, all right. Preachers' wives? Future preachers' wives? Okay. And, okay, so the rest of, how many are in organized ministry? Okay, all right. But you're all leaders. You're all spiritual leaders. Okay? You heard me say that? You are spiritual leaders. Don, you're a spiritual leader. Everybody. Okay. So, why is it important? Why is prayer important to be an effective leader?
A lot of times we look at prayer as me petitioning God, but prayer is also a time of reflection and a relationship with Him where I can hear from Him.
Okay. Okay, so you, yes. Mm-hmm.
Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing.
I like that. So, prayer is our connection with Him. He's living in us, too, but He is our resource. He is our everything. And so, without that connection, we might as well stay in bed. That's John 15:5, I think. John 15:5. Without me, you can do nothing. It's verse 4 or 5, somewhere in there. Excellent.
When Jesus was in the garden with the disciples, He told them to watch and pray as they enter into temptation.
Yes.
And for leaders, that's an obvious point.
Yes, Jesus commanded it. He said, we'll need it to live above what we have to live above. And Jesus did it. Our perfect example did it.
Prayer can be a means of God revealing Himself and guiding us through difficult experiences in life. Mm-hmm. Especially in leadership.
Yes.
So we seek direction, and God can give specific divine direction through the avenue of that conversation with God.
Mm-hmm. He gives us wisdom, He speaks to us, and you know, we don't do very well at listening. We'd rather do the talking. But sometimes when we are talking, we're thinking out loud. And that helps us think. And God speaks even before we... That's probably why we don't listen more, because we talk until... I'm just thinking about school days, you know, you go and answer students' questions. And, I don't know how to do this. Well, did you read the instructions? Well, yeah. I said, read it again out loud. And they start reading it out loud, and things start clicking. It's kind of how prayer is. You go and start verbalizing it to God. And then our mind starts making connections. Appreciate that. And somebody mentioned the spiritual. It's a spiritual work. It's a spiritual. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against spiritual forces. And so how do you wrestle against spiritual forces? Not by physical strength, but by speaking into the spirit world. Speaking. Prayer is speaking. So you ask God's angels to come, and you tell the Satan and his angels to go. We fight by speaking. We fight the spiritual warfare by speaking. All right, let's move on. Number two, why does so little prayer happen? And I just want us to identify the difficulties in what you think quickly here. Let's make a little list here of the difficulties. What? Why is it so hard to pray?
It's work.
We're lazy.
Not disciplined to take time to pray.
It takes discipline.
We're too busy doing other things.
We're practical people. We physical work. We like that, and we get too busy trying to do it.
Get an answer right away.
Yeah, we don't really believe that it'll happen, believe in it like we should.
It takes humility. We have to realize our need of Christ.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And along with that, it's in secret. Most of prayer is private. Nobody sees the work that we do in prayer. And that's hard to think of most of our work not being seen by men. That's a subconscious thing, and I think that affects... I know it affects me. I think it affects us more than we realize. We want to do things that people can say, well, he did this. That message was great that you preached, or that what you said was awesome. They don't come up to us and say, I can just tell you spent an hour in prayer this morning. God bless you. I'm so... I wish I could be... No, nobody knows. And furthermore, a lot of the things that we pray for, when God does answer the prayer, he often answers it in different ways that it's very difficult for us to go back and say, you know what, I prayed for this, and now this is happening. Sometimes, especially when God leads us for specific prayer, we can know, you know, and later we almost forgot that we prayed that, and we have those specific things that we know God answered our prayers. But you're praying, other people are praying for God's kingdom to come, God's will to be done, and then when God does move and does a great something, it's different enough from what we were picturing, it's hard for us to go back there and say, oh, I'm so glad I spent all those hours in prayer, because now look what God is doing. It's hard to connect the two. But just know that every minute you spend in prayer, God will reward you openly. And he'll reward it in disguised ways sometimes, but he will reward you. But that's why it's difficult, because the answers connected with the prayer is often kind of vague. What else? Why else would you say it's difficult?
Sometimes we don't make things honest with God.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Personality may have something to do with this, but I find it doing something that's in front of you that you can see, that you can move from this to have this conversation, plan this thing, that's one thing. Mm-hmm. But when you're in prayer, it's not in this like a physical thing. It's a spiritual thing, and so a lot of times the physical things are screaming for our attention, and they're right there in front of us. And prayer is a spiritual thing. It's another realm to be.
Yeah, and so when we spend time in prayer, it feels like we're not getting anything done. We can see all the work that needs to be done, and here we're spending time in prayer, and that's not getting done. Hard. We are doers. We're Mennonites. We're doers. We make stuff happen. But is it the most important thing that's happening? That's hard. All right, let's go on. We'll come back to three later. other side of your page. God asks us to ask him to do what he already wants us to do. I'm going to read a little bit in Luke 11. If you want to follow along, you can. I'm reading from the New King James Version. And some time ago, I read this, and it just hit me. What's actually happening here? Now it came to pass, Luke 11:1, now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place when... Okay, he was praying, and when he was done praying, when he ceased, then one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So this is really neat. God, Jesus, if he needed to pray, we need to too. And he was praying. He was setting the example. Even he spent all night in prayer. Scripture says that. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And then right after that, verses 5 through 13, he talks about persistence in prayer. And he talks about the Holy Spirit. And so that's something that we may have time to come back to, or we may not. But what I want to, what hit me here is when the disciples said, teach us to pray. And I never know, were they asking, teach us how to pray, or just teach us to pray? I don't know which one it is. I know I have to ask God to teach me to pray lots of times as well as how to pray. But what hit me here is Jesus says, okay, this is what you say. You should say, Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Now, what's unique about prayer is God is all-powerful, and often, subconsciously, we think God is going to do what he's going to do. His purposes will not be thwarted. What's the point in me praying? I've faced it. How many of you have faced that? Yeah, thanks. Okay, so God is going to do. He is sovereign. His plan will succeed. And so it's like, why am I wasting my time? Well, I might as well, you know, do something where I know something is happening. Okay? But there's more to it. Another thing that so when I say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, well, why wouldn't God just do that? Why does he limit himself to us asking for it? He's taking a huge risk for that. So why does he want to involve me? How inefficient can you get? This is what I struggle with, is I like efficiency, I like to get things done, but he waits. And I know he could save the world by himself. He wouldn't need any one of us. He wouldn't need one person to save the world. But he limits himself, and he chooses to need us. Why? In working for God, I think we are finding out that God cares more about us and our development and our relationship with us than he does what we can do for him. So he says, thy kingdom come, we should ask God, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So God is telling us to ask him to do what he already wants to do. And furthermore, sometimes we don't know what to ask him to do. So we need to ask him, God, what do you want to do? And listen long enough and read his word enough to figure out what he wants to do. So we ask him what he wants to do. He tells us what he wants to do. We ask him to do it, and then he does it. that's frustrating. If you really want something, God, just do it. That's where I come out at. Don't mess with me. Just do it. But he wants more. He wants relationship. Another scripture that hits me is, well, if you're in Luke there, Luke 10, verse 2. Jesus said, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." A common theme through all these ministries represented here is we need workers. We need people here. We've got enough money. We just need people to use the money, okay? So we need workers. We need workers. This is, on one hand, it'd be so frustrating to me that Jesus knew that throughout the church age there would be a shortage of workers. He knew that way back then. What was he thinking? But I need to go to the other side and say, you know what? He knew it would be this way, and he cares. So it's not just my ministry. There's something wrong with my ministry that we're always looking for workers. It's that way across the board. There's a shortage of workers. And Jesus knew it, and I need to take comfort in that. So there again, Jesus told us to ask the Father to send forth laborers so God can send forth laborers. But we're supposed to ask him for it. He wants to do it. Why doesn't he just do it? He wants us. He wants a relationship with us. That's what he's after. And it's about getting to know God. Let's go through this. Spending time with God. I think that's what it's all about. Prayer is spending time with God. Okay, so prayer is giving to God. Okay, so what do we give to God? When we give to God, we are finding out what he likes. All right, so somebody's birthday, you think, what does he like? And you try to make a good guess, and you ask, kind of try to find out in a roundabout way and you go buy them that gift. And then after you give it, do you like it? Oh, yeah, I love it. Or, well, this is great, and I would have preferred this color or something like that. And through giving, we find out what people really like. All right? So what do we give to God? We give him ourselves. We give him worship, devotion, love, and sacrifice. And in giving ourselves, we tell him about ourselves. We tell him what we like about him, what you want to do for him, what you want to be for him. And through that, he might say, oh, that's great. Or he says, well, that's great, but I'd rather you be and do this for me. But through that giving, we get to find out what God likes. So we get to know him that way. All right, receiving from God, finding out what he is like. Receiving, and this is really hard. We just need to listen. We need to shut up and listen. Listen. Picture your fiancé, or ladies, your fiancé. Oh, either way. Okay, so you are engaged to be married, and you've been through courtship, and you just love this lady, and everything is great. But all of a sudden, it kind of comes to the focal point that she doesn't really come to see you more than she has to. And when she's there, she's often in another room. Or maybe she's in the room with you, but she's not... When she's in the room with you, she's distracted. She's talking about other people or talking about herself or texting friends or family. Her focus is elsewhere. Her focus isn't really on you. The bottom line is she doesn't know your likes. She doesn't know your interests, your involvements, your passions, your purpose in life, what pleases you, why you do what... She's not really into you. It's a selfish thing. And you get this uneasy feeling. She wants to do some stuff for you, but she doesn't want to do it with you. She wants to do it at her convenience, and she loses interest if it requires much sacrifice. In other words, she's more interested in your perks than in you. Would you want to get married to somebody like that? The church is a spouse, is engaged to Christ. And we act like that. We come with ourselves, and it's about ourselves, rather than being about Christ, finding out what he wants to do, finding out what he is like, finding out who he is. So we need to listen. We need to just be quiet sometimes and listen. And a lot of that is found by reading. All right, so open your Bible and keep it open. No, I don't mean now, but when you're praying. Open your Bible when you're praying and keep it open. George Mueller, the great man of prayer, is said to have read with an open Bible, often praying scripture. So that takes time. That takes time. Meditate on, think on his words. Leonard Ravenhill said that pastors who don't pray 2 hours a day aren't worth a dime a dozen. So I didn't say that. It was just a man saying it. But there's a lot of truth to that. To really be effective, you're going to have to spend time with God. And I tell you, 2 hours a day may not be popular, but that's not unthinkable or unreasonable. I set my goals for 4 hours a day, and I get about an hour or hour and a half, okay? But I know if I don't set my goal high, I won't get it done. So set it for 2 hours. If you can get an hour in, great. But that is the difficult. Other things are just pressing in. And it doesn't get any easier when you get older. Start when you're young, before you have more responsibilities, before you're a dad and a husband and all those other things. Sit quietly in his presence, receiving from him. Be still and know that I am God. Psalms 46:10. John 6:35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. Absorb him. All right, then interceding. Interceding for others is finding out what he wants to do. And here again we have this inefficient way of getting things done. But it's about relationship. It's about getting to know him. So you see there, this person has a need. And so you take God, here is Joe. And he needs, and right, if you're praying and listening at the same time, Joe needs, and we get ready to say what he needs, but then we think, well, maybe I don't really know what he needs. I know he needs something. But God, what does Joe need? And through that, we can intercede. Because what we think is often not what God thinks. What Joe needs or what he needs to do is often different from what we think. Because God's ways are so much higher and different from ours. So, prayer is about getting to know God, who he is. The purpose for all three of these, giving, receiving, and interceding for others, is to know God. Then we become like him. Now that's power. If you are like Jesus, you will live a powerful life. You spend time with somebody, you become like them. You pick up their interests. I just put this note in for you. My wife picks up on my views and goals. And it's not because I'm forcing her to, but she knows that to the extent that she doesn't, she is potentially very frustrated. And that's how I've been with God. I've been frustrated with God. But it's because it's when I don't spend time to get to know him and what he wants to do and working with him. Then things can start happening. We're here trying to make things happen. We got to pull back. Well, God, what do you want to make happen? And we need to be open. Because God's picture is so often so different from ours. Okay. So aligning ourselves with God's purposes, that's prayer. What does God want? All right, you've been praying, you've been listening, you've been reading God's word ever since you are small. You know what God, well, let's just write a few things down that you know is God's will. it is God's will that yes, that none perish would be another one to say. All come to repentance. Excellent. What else is God's will? We know.
We be conformed to the image of Christ.
Yes, that the church, his people, would be conformed to the image of Christ. What else? What did Jesus pray?
Unity.
Yes, that the church is one. How many of us are praying that his people would be one, whatever that means? We're not sure what it means, but we can at least start praying for it. We know that's what God wants, that we are one. And I think oneness in my local fellowship, being one with them, that is a little different than being one in Christ with my Baptist brother down the street. But I think both. I think Jesus meant both when he said that they may be one. Okay, what else is God's will? Also in John 17.
But rejoice in heaven.
Yes, rejoice. Yeah, we could list all the commandments in Scripture in the New Testament. We know is God's will. That's, we can pray for that specifically. What else did Jesus... Go ahead.
The world knows who he is.
Yes, that the world knows who he is. What else did Jesus pray for that was part of his prayer in John 17 when he prayed that they may be one? What was a key there that he prayed? John, experienced pastor, what was the key there? Anyone?
Love.
Yes. How would they know that we are in him and he in us and Jesus is God? Yes, by their love for one another. God prayed that Arlen would love Josh, or that is God's will, that people in the church love each other. Pray that. That is so close to God's heart. Yes, children, obey your parents. That's God's will. Just any command like that. We know, and that those are things we can pray for. If we see it's not happening in our church or in our organization or in our family, pray it specifically. Specific ways that the kingdom come and his will would be done. Pray those specific things. You may have to go talk to the person that's erring, but first of all, pray for that. Specific ways that the kingdom, God's kingdom would come, his and would prosper and grow. I feel passionate about the church. I love the church. I love our people. I feel called from a young age. I did not feel called to go evangelize the lost, but I felt called to minister to our people. And so it has brought me to my knees and crying out to God, God, help me be more effective in encouraging our people to be what they should be. And I came across this scripture in Isaiah 62. I put the words here in the New Living Translation because it's a little more in our language. God is passionate about the church, about his bride. And in here he uses words like Zion, Jerusalem, the city. That's language that scripture uses. In Revelation talks about the holy city. And I believe it's talking about the church, God's body, followers of Jesus here on earth, all across the earth. And this scripture just resonated with me, and I just want to share it with you as my personal... I pray this often. Because I love Zion, I will not keep still. And may this help us grab that in it, and may God instill in us a determination to pray and pray and pray and not quit. I will not keep still. Because my heart yearns for Jerusalem, I cannot remain silent. I will not stop praying for her until her righteousness shines like the dawn and her salvation blazes like a burning torch. The nations will see your righteousness, you know, that the world may know. World leaders will be blinded by your glory. Is the church that way? So bright that people are just like, whoa. They're saying, wow, and then saying, wow, backwards again. And you will be given a new name by the Lord's own mouth. The Lord will hold you in his hand for all to see. A splendid crown in the hand of God. Never again will you be called the forsaken city or the desolate land. Your new name will be the city of God's delight and the bride of God. For God delights in you and will claim you as his bride. Your children will commit yourselves to you, O Jerusalem, just as a young man commits himself to his bride. Then God will rejoice over you as a bridegroom rejoices over his bride. O Jerusalem, okay, this is it. This is for prayer warriors. O Jerusalem, I have posted watchmen on your walls. They will pray day and night continually. Take no rest, all you who pray to the Lord. And I love this. Give the Lord no rest until he completes his work, until he makes Jerusalem the pride of the earth. That persistence. And let me just give you some scriptures. We won't have time to go there, but let me give you some scriptures about persistence. Luke 11, 1 through 13, Luke 18, 1 through 8, and Matthew 15, 21 through 21. Scriptures about persistence in prayer. Now, what would happen? What would happen if, in the context of the church, if your bishop would work 4 days a week instead of 5 or 6 to support his family and would spend 1 or 2 or 3 days in prayer, Bible study, and visitation, or just 6 hours of that in prayer, what would happen? What would happen if a number of men from your congregation would just go together? It wouldn't be a big deal, but just 3 or 4 men say, hey, let's go together and let's pay a day's wage to our preachers so that he can do that. What would happen? What would happen in your church if that would happen? If that would happen? What would happen if the elderly or some other person that's laid up, has lots of time, your church would bring your prayer request to them, just dumping it on them, making them feel needed. Hey, I need prayed for. And you would have prayer warriors in your church like that. Or your organization. What if everybody who loves to go hunting in the fall would spend 2/3 of that hunting time in prayer instead? What would happen if every construction worker would spend a 10-hour day in prayer every month or something? What would happen if our churches would ordain 2 or 3 people to be prayer warriors in your church and maybe support them if necessary? What would happen? I think that would be awesome. I think things would change so radically, drastically. All right, just quickly, what can we do to make it happen? What came to your mind now? Well, first of all, we need to ask. Ask God, and I don't know what you need to ask for. You may need to ask for a greater desire. You may need to ask for wisdom to know how to say no to work so that you can do the most important work of prayer. You may need to ask for vision, for leading, show you the need. I don't know, but let's ask. And then ask with persistence. Just a few things that come to mind. Set goals. raise your standard. And this may be raise your standard for how much time to pray. It may be raise your standard of what the church should look like or what your ministry should look like or the effectiveness of your life. If you say, well, this is bad. I'm doing my best and I'll just do what I can. And we need some of that attitude, but we should also not settle for less than what God wants to do. So, God, I'm not satisfied with where I'm at. I have to have more effect. You want to do more. I know you want to do more. And so raise your standard. That'll raise your intensity for prayer. And you might get frustrated, but learn how to live with that and still keep a smile and serve the Lord with joy. But raise your standard. Meet with others. Hold yourself accountable. Change your lifestyle. Change your schedule. Ask for prayer warriors. I would just quickly give my testimony. For a long time, I asked God, help me. God, help me. And the best times were at night after everybody was in bed. I would just pace the living room floor so I could stay awake and just hang out all night with God and just rant and rave or be quiet before Him or tell Him all about my struggles and ask Him and just spend time. Sometimes I'd read. Sometimes I'd get tired and sit down and fall asleep and then get up again. But those nights of prayer are so precious. So precious. And I'm a guy that needs my sleep. But anyway, I spent... And then praying and praying. And about a year ago, God brought somebody from another part of the state. It was a retired former Muslim Christian lady. Brought her from another part of the state into our town. She doesn't know why except to pray for our community. And she lives in an apartment a mile down the road from Hillcrest. And God brought her. And I was preaching in a church in the community where she was, and something clicked with her, and from that day on, about a year ago, she has been praying for me and my ministry. And when she prays, she prays. She doesn't just say, I'll pray for you, and then breathe the prayer as she goes away. She prays. She has committed her life to celibacy, to be all God's, and to pray. And God just brought her to pray for our community. And she prays for me and my wife, and I can tell a difference. I can tell a difference. She's not Mennonite, but she prays. And she has a connection. She knows how to pray. My messages flow. Other things are happening. And interestingly enough, I have been having a harder time praying more. But I think it's just a season where she's doing my praying for me. You need prayer warriors. Okay? You need to pray yourself, but you also need prayer warriors. And it's interesting, I never asked God for prayer warriors. I was just asking God, God, help me to pray more. And this is what He brought. He brought me a prayer warrior. We have 1 minute left. I'll give you 30 seconds to ask a question or make a comment, and then I want to pray for you before you go.
Do you have a structure of what your prayer time looks like? You spend a certain amount of time getting to know God or receiving or interceding?
I don't. I try to pray. I try to read a lot. I try to pray, but I don't really have a... Well, I do it in the morning, and then I try to do it evenings. Sometimes with my schedule, sometimes I can even do an hour at work on duty time. I get paid to pray. That's cool. Get paid to pray, you know. It's advantage of being a paid pastor. That's part of my job. Good question. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we look to You. We need help. We are so weak, and You know we are weak. But we want to get to know You, to become so like You that we are passionate about what You're passionate about. We're praying about what You want us to pray for. And then when we do go to work physically, that we are doing the things that you want us to do because we've spent time with you. I pray your blessing on this group. And on this small group here, I pray that from here on, their lives would change because they are making prayer and that most important work a priority. Thank you, God. And Holy Spirit, we ask you to lead us, take over, and we just surrender ourselves to you for you to lead us in mighty ways. May the churches and the ministries represented here, may they flourish because people give themselves to prayer. And just enable us to represent you and who you are because of the way you are changing us into your image. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This recording and many others are available from Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. For more information, call 1-814-789-4769 or visit us online at www.christianlearning.org.